You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Friday, November the 13th, 2020. I have some close friends who say, Larry, you're just, you know, you're going down the wrong road, backing Trump and all of his challenges and not believing it's all over, that Biden and Harris have won. Be done with it. Forget about it. There's nothing going to be there. Well, I still believe in our system of justice, and that includes the constitutional and federal statute and state statute right to appeal and ask for recounts and investigate possible fraud. That doesn't mean it's there, but don't just simply accept everything they've told you is true, not the way some of this balloting went down. I'm not saying it's going to turn the election upside down as we supposedly see it. I'm not going to say massive amounts of fraud will be pinned on the Democrat Party, but, you can't say it doesn't exist until you see the facts either, can you? And we may never really get all the facts this time around. This might be the story that breaks 5 years from now. Looking back on the 2020 election, my God, look what happened. In the meantime, the Republican National Committee investing more than $10 million into the ongoing legal efforts in the key battleground states to make sure, quote, all legal ballots are properly cast and counted. That's all we ask for. And that every illegal ballot is discounted. In Georgia, you know, they're beginning the hand count. The Georgia Secretary of State, who's a Republican, announced a full by-hand recount in each county. And it's to be done by later next week. But already, the Georgia GOP, Tea Party Patriots, and the Trump campaign believes there are several components lacking to ensure accuracy and credibility. They say, first and foremost, the audit does not include a review of signatures on absentee ballot applications and the envelopes. In other words, just recounting, okay, this Biden, that's Trump, Biden, Trump. Look at the signatures, compare them to what's on record, compare them to the address. Does that person live there anymore or not? And now we have several media outlets, including CNN, New York Times, saying it's official, Joe Biden has won Arizona, leading by about 11,000 votes. Well, it's not official until it's certified. Now, 16,000 ballots apparently remain. About 6,000 of them are provisional ballots. We do not know what's going to happen with those. It could get down to 8,000 votes or even less before it's over with. But this is something the mainstream media will glob onto. One of the attorneys representing Donald Trump in his battle to challenge election results in Pennsylvania is withdrawing. The Porter Wright firm pulling away, said we're no longer going to take part in it. They stated we have a long history of election law work during which we represent Democrat, Republican, independent campaigns and issues. We take on controversial cases. We expect criticisms. But apparently there's been too much criticism, too much internal strife, and they're probably just saying, we don't have anything to win as we continue to fight this battle. They're not going to stand up and fight for constitutional rights. That would be like the attorney assigned to defend someone that's already on videotape slaughtering an entire family and says, well, if I defend him, my family will be under attack and I'll be shunned forever. So let's don't give him his constitutional right. Nancy Pelosi saying, I refuse to take responsibility for our losses in the 2020 election, but she quickly says, quote, I accept credit for winning the majority and holding the House. Well, of course she does. Elections have consequences. Michigan Governor Whitmer taking legal action to shut down a pipeline that carries oil between a channel that links two of the Great Lakes. Start shutting down that fossil fuel line connection. And elections have consequences when you get Elizabeth Warren calling on President-elect Joe Biden saying, you know what? just bypass Congress. Bypass Congress. A U.S. sitting senator telling Joe Biden, when you get in, you and Harris simply cancel billions of dollars in student loan debt, bypass Congress, and simply by executive fiat say, all of the money you owe, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay it. Which brings us to the question, all the folks who paid their tuition, will they get their money back now? Do you think you could apply and say, what about the money I paid for my children, and can I get it back? You know the answer. Stand by for our second hour.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID, so you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some, for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In fact, we know that records from past elections indicate that individuals who are dead but remain on the voter rolls mistakenly are credited with having voted in elections. In fact, we've got cases in our election fraud database at Heritage of individuals who were convicted of casting a ballot for someone who was deceased. How many times and how many votes that may have happened with in this election, I mean, we just don't have those records yet, so we don't know.
But it's a frightening thought, isn't it? I see dead people voting. Not really funny. Somebody put out something the other day in a message to me and say, congratulations to Jim Smith of Detroit, Michigan, for his 140th birthday, and he just voted. Yeah. The words, of course, you were listening to then were Hans von Spakovsky, a guest on this program frequently. I wanted to book him live, but he's on the road today. But I did want to share some of the messages and his thoughts he'd expressed in the DailySignal.com podcast. They are available at Ricochet, Apple Podcasts, Google, so forth and so on. But he was on this Daily Signal podcast talking about all the issues we're seeing as we move forward with challenges in these lawsuits, currently lawsuits filed by the Trump campaign in Pennsylvania, Nevada, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona. Now, as I said in news and commentary, they have now decided Arizona goes to Biden. It's done there. There's still votes to be counted. There is still votes to be counted, and at least 6,000 of them are provisional ballots, which means they may have no bearing whatsoever. And I gave you a number of maybe 11,000 votes separating Trump and Biden as it stands now. I don't know if there's enough in there. And when you go back and look at the others, if the numbers will hold. You have to keep in mind, if you're going to challenge election numbers. You've got, it's a very high bar you had to hurdle. It really should begin with the start of the election as to how people are able to vote, what they have to do to prove that they're eligible to vote, and the only party against voter ID is, what is it? I mean, I think it starts with a D, Democrats. That's the only party that says, we don't need no stinking ID. And yet, if you went to a Democrat National Convention, I will guarantee you, because I've been there several times to their conventions, you have to have an identification of some type to show who you are, why you were there. And I have nothing to do with how the voting and the platform of the Democrat Party is put together. I'm just there to monitor and report on it. And every delegate member has to have a picture ID and verification of who they are just to get into the Democrat National Committee meetings and conventions. But hey, when it comes to vote, our most sacred right, nah. If you can find a utility bill that you pick up on the street, you go in and say, this is my address, here's my utility bill to prove it, they will let you vote. Now, they put it aside supposedly as, quote, a provisional. And it may not be counted unless they need to count provisional ballots, and they may count them. And that's the issue going on right now in Georgia with a hand recount, as I said in news and commentary. It's not just a matter of saying, all right, this was Mark Biden, that goes there in that stack. This was Mark Trump, that goes to that side. Here are four more for Biden, that goes over here. There's one for Trump, that goes over here. 20 more for Biden, that goes over here. That's just counting the numbers. Verify the ballots. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And have you also noticed that every time there's suddenly a glitch or something, the votes that are suddenly appearing and benefiting are Democrats? It's a fact. Show me a glitch that said Republicans won because of a glitch. Now, there is a glitch, and as far as a group of ballots not reported in one election, a local-type election, and they simply didn't turn in the ballots from this polling precinct. Someone made a mistake, but they never did deliver them. And it ended up the GOP candidate won. Now, the only glitch was they never got delivered. Yeah, apparently, there was no malfeasance or intent to do it. It just somehow or another, well, I thought he was doing it. I thought he was doing it. No, I thought you were doing it. And then we had the issue in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania and the way they were conducting themselves. Now, I have had good friends say, Larry, they did everything absolutely right. And John LeBoutier was on the air yesterday, said, I don't believe any of those things about Pennsylvania. Poll watchers were in there. They had access. The law demands it. Yes, it does demand it. And yet, they had allegations, complaints. They had video showing how far back they were, so they could not have a meaningful access. And in Pennsylvania, by the way, talking about dead people voting, 21,000 dead people are still on the voter rolls in Pennsylvania. 21,000. So how many of those 21,000 dead rose from the grave and voted? Or someone else took their information? What do you think? Here's Hans von Spakovsky on the whole issue with the Pennsylvania question. That is, part of it got into how they were having a lawsuit on just the voter registration list and residents who weren't part of the state.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, they're contesting the fact that state Supreme Court extended the deadline for absentee ballots past the deadline set by the state legislature. And the state legislature, you know, under their deadline, you've got to get your absentee ballot turned in by the end of Election Day. But the state Supreme Court put another 3 days on that. And what the Trump campaign is contesting is that the state Supreme Court doesn't have the constitutional power to do that. The state legislature does. They're the ones that are tasked with and given the authority to set deadlines and the rules governing federal elections in their state. So if the state legislature wanted to extend the deadline, I mean, they could do that. But here the court stepped in and did it. And what they're contesting is the counting and inclusion of any absentee ballots that were received after Election Day.
And in Georgia, we've got a big race underway even now, two U.S. Senate seats. Senator Rick Scott from Florida showed up to appear at a rally supporting Republican Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. And they're also going to bring in some big Democrat names for the Democrat candidates, one of them Reverend Raphael Warnock, who, by the way, is on record officially about 20 years ago inviting Fidel Castro to his church in his area. And, of course, we have the Democrats bringing in their big names. Senator Bernie Sanders apparently going to show up for Warnock. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is going to show up to help raise money for both of them. Obama's apparently going to make a campaign appearance in Georgia. So is Trump. And, of course, we've had, and I've reported to you repeatedly, members of the left, as spurred on by the New York Times columnist Tom Friedman, get to Georgia, register so you can vote. You can have plenty of time to be registered by December 7th, and you can vote in that January runoff. And former Democrat presidential candidate, Yang, said, "My wife and I have already moved to Georgia so we can register and vote." They're not just putting money in there. They're having people cross lines to register as a Georgia citizen. Yeah, you could blame it on the Georgia law that they need to tighten it up. But I think you also need to look at how all the other laws are bent and broken in else other places. For instance, they got similar things going on in California and Nevada. They believe in Nevada. Many folks came from California. They might hold a dual residence, and they voted twice. Twice. Hans von Spakovsky.
Well, in Nevada, there's a lawsuit claiming, again, problems with the voter registration list, and that individuals who are not residents of the state, but in fact are not only residents of neighboring states like California, but actually voted, for example, in California and in Nevada. So again, there's a dispute over the fact that there may have been illegal and invalid votes cast in that election. You know, people need to understand it's not necessarily illegal to be registered in more than one state. That often happens through no fault of a voter when they simply move from one state to another. But if you take advantage of that and you cast a vote in two different states in the same election, that in fact is a criminal violation of the law, and in most places it actually is a felony.
Now, do you think those who did that did it? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know I could vote twice. I got a ballot sent to me in California. I got one sent to my address in Nevada. I assume I could vote both. But you're an idiot, and you know it, and you're a liar. You know you cannot vote only once. It's one vote. And yet there will be some that claim, well, I thought it was okay. They sent it to me. I must be okay. And there is another problem right there with the voting and what we've been doing. You talk about tightening rules and so forth. Yeah, Georgia needs, as every state does, you have to have a cutoff, an early enough cutoff that folks can't suddenly flood into swinging an election. Now, for the presidential election, it's all basically taken on the same day, except for mail-in ballots and those who show up in advance of Election Day. The situation in Georgia right now, this runoff in January, all the effort, all the money and effort Republicans and Democrats have, all the cachet they have, all the big names they have, will be focused on that state. Why? Well, because right now, with the win in Alaska the other day, Republicans have 50 seats in the Senate. Democrats have 48. Republicans have to win at least one seat to make sure they hold a majority if Biden-Harris go in as to the White House. They really need and should win two, because there are some Republican senators, I use the term loosely, Romney, Collins, Sass, I'm not sure which way the wind's blowing for them on any given day. Neither are they. But I will tell you, it's a clear fact that if Republicans don't win at least one of those seats, if they lose both of them, you got a 50-50. And the tiebreaker for the U.S. Senate is the vice president, which would be Kamala Harris. And then while we're in the midst of looking at all this fraud and so forth going on, what about on election night and suddenly voting just stopped? All of it stopped all across the nation at different times. They just said, oh, I'm just too tired. What is it? They're waiting for more to come in? Even Hans von Spakovsky was bothered, traumatized, or just uncertain as to why that happened.
I frankly don't understand that myself, and I was shocked at the way certain jurisdictions, including Fulton County, Georgia. Fulton County is the Atlanta metropolitan area. It's the largest county of the state. How they simply stopped counting in the evening of Election Day, and I really don't understand that. And the reason I don't is because I actually 20 years ago was on the board of elections in Fulton County, Georgia, when I still lived down there. And we never stopped counting the ballots. We kept going. We had reserve teams in place to take over when people got tired, so that we could get the results of the election in as soon as possible. And part of the delays apparently are these, what I think are unexplained and unwise decisions by election jurisdictions to not continually keep the count going.
And Hans is being very graceful. I'll say it for him. It's also a way to cheat and wait on other votes to come in. And then we have the vote harvesting issue. Do you understand exactly what vote harvesting is, how that is abused? I don't care which side of the political aisle you're on. This can be a damning event. Hans will explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deck don't like kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Vote harvesting, for people to understand it, some states, unfortunately, have legalized vote harvesting, which means that they allow any stranger to show up at your door and offer to return your ballot. And that's legal. And the problem with that is it means that candidates and political consultants, party activists, campaign staffers, you're putting something valuable, a ballot, into their hands, and you're hoping that maybe they'll deliver it without altering it or changing it, or if they know that you consistently vote for the opposite party, that they'll actually deliver it and not just throw it out.
Hans von Spakovsky talking about the dangers as approved in states such as California and other Democrat operations for ballot harvesting. They go through a nursing home, get signatures. Folks may or may not know what they're signing, but it's an election ballot, and they say, we'll all take it in and we'll turn it in for you. Oh, sign right here. Check this column. Check this candidate. Then on face value, I mean, would you let a stranger come to your door and say, let me have your credit card for a day? Really? Because that's pretty much what you're doing. Only this is a sacred right you're just simply giving away to someone else to take care of. You may have trouble even within your own family that your family members will follow your wishes, but certainly a stranger, that has to come to a stop. Has to. By the way, with all this effort to win the Georgia Senate races, the two coming up in January, there's a battle even between leftists. Leftists as in pop star John Legend and billionaire Mark Cuban. They're battling over Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks team and is a supporter of Clinton, had tweeted that people who are considering donating to candidates in the Georgia Senate runoff elections should reconsider, donate to local food banks and charities, help those in need, he said. Quote, let's put Americans in need above politics. Well, that's not the view of pop star John Legend. He said Senate flipping would be far more impactful than a food bank donation. Cuban chastised Legend for those comments, saying sarcastically, you think one political party, quote, will solve all our problems? I don't like a lot of things about Cuban. There are things Cuban, but there are other things I do like. But he's saying, let's feed the people. Let's feed the people. You see how far they've gotten? And, of course, Twitter continues to do what it can to control mainstream, I should say, conservative views and voices. They have shut down and hit the Trump Twitter account numerous times. I'll get to that before we wrap up this hour. And then, of course, we have COVID still going around. And Jake Tapper on a show last night accused Trump of tweeting deranged conspiracy stories while ignoring surging coronavirus cases across the country. He said it's spreading, everything going the wrong direction. And yet Trump is nowhere to be found. Made no public comments on COVID since he lost the election. And, of course, every time he was coming out to make an announcement, CNN would cut away, so we're not interested in what he had to say. They weren't letting their audience hear what he had to say. And this, New York Governor Cuomo, he is being accused of being the biggest pig of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn, still waiting for relief to get money to deal with Cuomo's restrictions on houses of worship. And they're saying he is a Big Apple's biggest bigot. Oh, that's good. You're going to hear from Justice Alito and his view about the lockdown and your civil rights when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. And I think it is an indisputable statement of fact. We have never before seen restrictions as severe, extensive, and prolonged as those experienced for most of 2020.
Those are the words of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Alito. Justice Samuel Alito. In remarks he prepared for the Federalist Society National Lawyers Convention. He said it's really become an annual pilgrimage for conservative and libertarian lawyers. We pack the halls of the Mayflower, get gussied up for the banquet at Union Station, rekindle the vast right-wing conspiracy. He said this year we're hashtag together apart. He said the Federalist Society brought the National Lawyers Convention into the Zoom era, and so he delivered his keynote address virtually. Now, by the way, the guy that I was quoting saying for the last 14 years I attended and became an annual pilgrimage was not Alito. I thought originally it was attributed to him, but it's a guy that's writing a column on what Alito had to say for the publication Reason.com. Now, but Alito did start talking about COVID restrictions and reference your rights. And he said, I know when I do this, I could have a problem. I mean, there could be some people start immediately misinterpreting. I want you to hear a more detailed explanation of what he had to say. Before I do, though, this word is coming out. Trump, President Trump scheduled to deliver remarks from the Rose Garden in about 20 minutes. Now, supposedly, it's going to be an update on the COVID vaccine. Just as Jake Tapper is saying, where is he? We don't see him. He's not to be found. Well, I wonder if CNN will cover it. But apparently he's going to make some remarks about the COVID situation coming up in about 20 minutes. And I don't know if he's going to discuss the other events going on. The other events, I told you earlier that it's been decided by CNN that Biden wins Arizona. They've also now decided that Biden wins Georgia, even while the hand count's underway still. And they've also, let me see, what else did they give? Oh, I think they gave North Carolina to Trump, I think. Yeah, they gave North Carolina to Trump. So those are the changes. It doesn't. None of those numbers change anything overall. I just wanted to stress that to you. And it's very possible, despite all the hate against Trump, in fact, I think it's more than possible, that if the COVID, the Wuhan virus from China, did not hit our nation and basically send a massive earthquake through our U.S. economy and hurting big and small businesses and a lot of people, then Trump probably would have almost walked away with this election. I could be wrong about that. But, of course, they kept hammering on the left that he's responsible. He's responsible for all 200-plus thousand who died. They never once considered, could some of the deaths be laid at the door of Andrew Cuomo, who demanded nursing homes in his state take COVID-positive patients? Yeah, 20 to 30,000. Could you at least? No. All of them are Trump's fault. All of them. And our economy went to hell because of Trump. Who do you think built the economy that we were having in January before we got hit? Who do you think had the economy going to record highs, black unemployment at record lows, making China rethink how they're going to negotiate with us or we'd hit them with tariffs and improving our relationships and getting rid of NAFTA and coming up with a better plan connecting us to Mexico and Canada and getting us out of the Paris Peace Plan, climate change plan, because all they do is want money from us so they can continue doing what they want, and the World Health Organization, because they set us up for this disaster, knowing they were peddling a lie, and also putting sanctions on Iran to keep them from building more nuclear weapons, which they've been trying to do and will try to move forward now, certainly with Biden coming in on board. But the COVID thing, a lot of the issue has been for a lot of folks. In the sense, and it's arguing in between families, close members, close friends. Wear a mask. I don't want to have to wear the mask all the time. Well, you got to wear a mask. You got to wear it for everybody all the time. And business is saying, you come in here, you have to wear a mask. Now, you have to wear it from the door to the bar. It may be 3 feet. Well, once you're at the bar, you can take it off. And I guess then COVID is, whoop, can't go anywhere now. We're sitting at the bar waiting for a drink. It's not funny for those who come down with some serious complications, but we've had numerous get something, nothing more than a low-grade fever, a little headache. I'm not saying it can't escalate. If people are vulnerable, they need to take precautions. But the lockdown we did, looking back, it's a little too tight, possibly, that we didn't do it in the areas we should have as effectively. And so Justice Scalia said, I admit this year's convention is a rule of law in the current crisis. He said, I know the title is intended primarily to refer to COVID-19 crisis that's transformed life for the past 8 months. It's taken a heavy human toll, thousands dead, many more hospitalized, millions unemployed, and the dreams of many small business owners dashed. But what is it meant for the rule of law? And then he started this statement.
I'm now going to say something that I hope will not be twisted or misunderstood, but I have spent more than 20 years in Washington, so I'm not overly optimistic. In any event, here goes. The pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Now, notice what I am not saying or even implying. I am not diminishing the severity of the virus's threat to public health. And putting aside what I will say shortly about a few Supreme Court cases, I'm not saying anything about the legality of COVID restrictions. nor am I saying anything about whether any of these restrictions represent good public policy. I'm a judge, not a policymaker. All that I'm saying is this, and I think it is an indisputable statement of fact. We have never before seen restrictions as severe, extensive, and prolonged as those experienced for most of 2020.
That's pretty direct, isn't it? Hey, sir, I know I'm going to say something that could be twisted, misunderstood, but that's not my intent. But the key line, the pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. And he went on to talk about liberties restricted.
Think of all the live events that would otherwise be protected by the right to freedom of speech. Live speeches, conferences, lectures, meetings. Think of worship services. Churches closed on Easter Sunday. Synagogues closed for Passover and Yom Kippur. Think about access to the courts or the constitutional right to a speedy trial. Trials in federal courts have virtually disappeared in many places. Who could have imagined that? The COVID crisis has served as a sort of constitutional stress test. And in doing so, it has highlighted disturbing trends that were already present before the virus struck.
And yet, he's acknowledging that you have to keep in mind where he stands as a Supreme Court justice and cases that might still come in front of him. He's just pointing out things that have happened. Those are facts. And then some of his thoughts on the liberties that have been affected by these restrictions.
Just as the COVID restrictions have highlighted the movement toward rule by experts, litigation about those restrictions has pointed up emerging trends in the assessment of individual rights. This is especially evident with respect to religious liberty. It pains me to say this, but in certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right.
That is a key point. I want to stop it right there. Becoming religious liberty fast becoming a disfavored right. And it's not just to do with COVID. All right, let's pick up the statement, get it in full context.
Just as the COVID restrictions have highlighted the movement toward rule by experts, litigation about those restrictions has pointed up emerging trends in the assessment of individual rights. This is especially evident with respect to religious liberty. It pains me to say this, but in certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right. And that marks a surprising turn of events. Consider where things stood in the 1990s. And to me, at least, that does not seem like the Jurassic Age. When a Supreme Court decision called Employment Division versus Smith cut back sharply on the protection provided by the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment, Congress was quick to respond. It passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA, to ensure broad protection for religious liberty. The law had almost universal support. In the House, the vote was unanimous. In the Senate, it was merely 97-3, and the bill was enthusiastically signed by President Clinton. Today, that wide support has vanished. When states have considered or gone ahead and adopted their own versions of RFRA, they have been threatened with punishing economic boycotts.
And you know exactly what he's talking about, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was to ensure broad protection for religious liberty. When states said, we're not going to pass a gender-free bathroom and things of this nature, remember the pro teams and others said, we're not going to do business with your state, we'll cancel and go elsewhere. Do you remember that, the boycott? And then don't forget, there are those that figure they're more special than you when it comes to restrictions. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Susie Q, baby, I love you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So Justice Alito went right to the heart of it in saying, it pains me to say this, but in certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right. And that's aside from the COVID restrictions. But he also acknowledged in his speech to the gathering of the Federalist Society and National Lawyers Convention that, yeah, he said, I know I might be misquoted, I hope I'm not, but the pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. And out of New York, as I alluded to a moment ago, you got a statement by the group that represents many of the Brooklyn Roman Catholic Diocese and also others, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, saying that Governor Cuomo's administration is discriminating against houses of worship using coronavirus restrictions. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn waiting for relief had to turn to the Supreme Court to fight back against these restrictions on houses of worship on the grounds of religious freedom. And they in turn say, you have Cuomo now as the Big Apple's biggest bigot, saying they've had zero success in working with his administration. And he goes after communities of faith, especially the Jewish community and other communities, and get caught in the crossfire. Well, they have to go to the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, for relief. It's ridiculous, unscientific, according to a member of the Beckett legal firm. Cuomo's order limits services and houses of worship to no more than 10 in red zones, regardless of the size of the building. Orange caps capped at 25%, yellow zones 50%. And then, of course, you get the elite who do their own thing anyway, as Governor Cuomo's brother, Chris Cuomo, does when he supposedly is in quarantine at his house and then is photographed outside his house while he's supposed to be under quarantine and then denied it. And yet there's videos showing him. And then you got the story of the D.C. mayor, Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser, violating travel restrictions that she put on everyone else. You can't travel to coronavirus hotspots. And yet she ignored them. And she says, well, I have to. My activities are essential. You know what one of the things she did? She and her staff attended Vice President Joe Biden's political rally Saturday. Was that essential? Not really. Not really. And last week, her office had released an updated list of states from which individuals traveling to Washington should self-quarantine for 14 days from their arrival in the district. That list included Delaware, site of Biden's Wilmington rally. Bowser not the only Democrat to ignore lockdown rules they imposed. Nancy Pelosi, of course, remember going to get her hair done. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot did the same thing, saying, I'm the public face of this city. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. That's harsh, and I take that back. I take that back. That's not fair. She said, I'm the public face of this city. I'm on national media. I'm in the public eye. In other words, I am better than you are. Well, I guess if you see me out and you don't like the way I'm doing myself, I'm going to say, hey, I used to be on TV, and I am a big radio star. I'm Larry Connors. You know who I am? At that point, you should probably say, who gives a flying rat's behind? That would be the proper response as far as I'm concerned. I'd say you're right. And, of course, the Twitter machine continues to be the device for the liberals only. I just noticed that Dana Lash and her husband, Chris Lash, are abandoning Twitter entirely and going to Parler. Parler's another operation like that. I've been on it. I on all of them as much as I can, trying to look at different views. But I understand. I mean, here got Twitter so far. The New York Times analyzing Twitter's moderation of the 2020 presidential election remarks from Trump, and they noted that 34% of what Trump said, Mark just disputed. Since October 27th. And then you get how Twitter just surrenders. A Twitter account regarding Target stores said that Target should stop selling a book about transgenderism's harmful impact on young girls. One Twitter account. The title, Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. It was meant to explain how wave of young girls are nudged, pushed into declaring they want to take life, adopt altering drugs, and adopt an opposite sex identity, undergo irreversible surgery. And it was being offered in Target stores. But one person went to Twitter and said that should stop. And then the Twitter hounds came after Target as well. And Target immediately said, oh, we're taking that off. We're taking it back. Amazon's already barring ads for the book. And yet they will allow other books about how to identify if you maybe should transition. It depends on who sends a tweet and who's going to join the attack line. Elections have consequences. And we're going to see consequences if this Biden-Harris thing holds, which it probably will. Don't give up hope. Continue to pray for our country. Enjoy your weekend. I'll be back here Monday. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.